Welcome in Locked On Grizzlies postgame edition. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you here as we talk about a big, big win for the Grizzlies and one that got a little dicey down the stretch, but in a much-needed game and a much-needed performance, they rode Big Spain's career-high 42 points to a 101-99 victory over the reeling Toronto Raptors in FedEx Forum in the final game before a six-game road trip. And on the eve of the announcement of the All-Star game, whether or not Marc Gasol, Mike Conley will make it, Mark made one final case, and what a case it was, scoring 13 points in the first 2 minutes of the game. Absurd. Absurd stuff. Insulted by the Raptors, putting Patrick Patterson on him in the post in a solo matchup. It was not a great idea by Dwayne Casey. And Mark's first play of the game, he backs down Patrick Patterson very nearly under the basket and drops the ball in the hoop. Then next play down, he pops out for a wide open three. Next play, an and one, as once again he backs Patrick Patterson up, spin move, baseline around him, and Valanciunas comes in to help, and Mark all of a sudden makes it 8-0, another three, boom, there's 11, and then a runner for 13. It's crazy what he was able to do. Absolutely crazy. And when he starts like that, it takes so much of the onus off the rest of the team. It takes so much of the onus off of Mike Conley. It takes so much of the onus off of the guys who may or may not be able to shoot. Of course, the Grizzlies already with a little bit of a makeshift lineup. Zach Randolph back in the starting lineup for only the second time this year because Jermichael Green had to miss with a mysterious knee injury that seemed to happen over the course of today. I don't even know. He was fine Monday and Tuesday, but something today, I don't know if he slipped in the shower. I have no idea. But something was going on with his knee, and they were concerned about that, so he ends up missing the game. Same thing with Chandler Parsons, who was, I mean, you heard from Chandler yesterday on the pod. He felt fine, looked fine, practiced all that, and then he was listed as doubtful with some more concerns. So I suppose it's a precautionary situation, but it certainly put the Grizzlies behind the eight ball, and they had to really tighten up the rotation in the ballgame tonight. And you saw that as big, heavy minutes for Zach. Played the most minutes he's played in quite a while, over 38. Same thing for Mark. And, you know, you just have to do that in these games. It's not ideal, but tremendous load. And it's impressive that Mark can continue to do this. He finishes with 42. Got a little worried that he might get stuck on 38 again, but he finished off as he should with the bang. Now, things got a little bit tense down the stretch for the Grizzlies as they scored only 14 points in the fourth quarter. That, incidentally, is the exact number that Kyle Lowry scored in the fourth quarter as the Raptors had an opportunity, had several opportunities, in fact, to tie or win the game, including a bizarre final play. Now, to talk about the final play for a second, first of all, it was precipitated by a horrendous call by the officials and one that has no explanation. And I can assure you that Grizzlies players in the locker room were as baffled as all of you watching were. And one in particular who I will not name, when I talked with him, he just said, "Nah, they're just bad." I said, "That's just bad." It's fair enough. I don't want to cost that player any money, so I won't reveal who that was. But that was, suffice to say, that was the idea in the locker room. How they allowed the Raptors to call a timeout with Valanciunas not having anything close to possession of the ball, in them not reviewing, you know, and they couldn't review. Once they had allowed the timeout, they couldn't review the possession. I don't even think it was Raptors' ball. But the replay looks so foolish when you look and see, and like the hands are sort of near the ball, I guess, but they're not. He certainly doesn't have two hands on it for contact with the ball, and he doesn't have possession of the ball anywhere close to enough to call a timeout. So the whole sequence was looks incredibly bad. In slow motion, it looks even worse, but there wasn't anything you could do about it. But then Dwayne Casey, in his infinite wisdom, decides to play, and I can understand the idea behind the play call to some extent, where you want Kyle Lowry to be running at the defense and you want to kind of get everything in a little bit of a scramble mode and give him a chance to make a play. And he'd had a fabulous quarter to that point. So you certainly want the ball in his hands. But with about 5.6 seconds left, you throw the ball to Kyle Lowry 70 feet away and just get it. By the time he can get down to where he could take a reasonable shot, there's less than a second left, and you know what he's going to do. And to his credit, he got a decent shot off and actually looked like he might have had an opportunity to make it. So, you know, that's to his credit. But I didn't like the play call. And the Raptors, you know, they made a furious rally down the stretch. The Grizzlies got really stagnant and couldn't get the ball to Mark when they needed to. And it took finally that last little sequence where then Mark finally was able to, you know, they got the ball to him and let him, you know, take Valanciunas to the basket. It's Valanciunas played well down the stretch and was big on the rebounds. He was big defensively in stretches, but Mark's having a career game, so just let him go at it. And the Grizzlies kind of hemmed and hawed and didn't look all that great. And then finally, when they needed to the most, they were able to get that play call, get Mark to the foul line, and get the points they needed to scrape out a win. You'll hear here momentarily from Marc Gasol and Tony Allen in the locker room. You know, because it was a big night. The Grizzlies, you know, going on this 6-game road trip. And having a double-digit lead in the second half against a team that had lost 4 straight, was without DeMar DeRozan. I mean, Norman Powell was doing a heck of a job for 3 quarters of imitating DeMar DeRozan. And the Grizzlies didn't do it was not a consistently good defensive performance. I thought they were having real trouble with the pace of the Raptors for a long time. The Raptors could not keep it up. And the pick and roll, you know, particularly with Zach Randolph in it, it was problematic. I thought, again, you know, they didn't do a good enough job at the point of attack of stopping dribble penetration. You know, that's true of Mike Conley. Now, Andrew Harrison did a pretty good job, you know, because he's just so much bigger than Kyle Lowry. He's 6'6", and you know, physically he's huge compared to Lowry. And there was a play at the end of the third quarter when, you know, he was able to snuff out Lowry one-on-one using that size. That was helpful. The lack of speed was not helpful, particularly against, you know, Lowry and Corey Joseph got by him a few times. But by and large, I thought he did a pretty good job defensively. And the Grizzlies improved. You know, I think they still have to learn how to play hard on both ends of the floor. I think that the offense feeds into the defense and vice versa. Sometimes they get caught up in the other team's game to an extent. I think that's what happened a little bit in the first half with the Raptors. I mean, that's not, you know, the Raptors are the second best offensive team in the league in terms of offensive ratings. So you don't want to get caught up in an offensive battle with them, even though they're missing DeMar DeRozan. You don't want that to end up being the case. That was the problem for them for a little bit too long. But, you know, Marc Gasol, just marvel at what he did. And heck, at the beginning of the second half, he had 13 points in the first 2 minutes of the game. Then he had 7 more points at the beginning of the second half. So in the first 4 minutes, 2 minutes of the first half, 2 minutes of the second half, he had 20 points in that 4-minute stretch. It's making a case for Mark in the All-Star game.
Now, obviously, the All-Star game has already been decided in terms of the, you know, the coaches. They've already made their calls. I don't know that there is anything that can be done at this late stage, but it was certainly a heck of a message to send. And Mark said that tonight he felt like he had to maybe be a little bit more aggressive out there because of the missing players, Chandler Parsons, JaMychal Green. He felt like maybe needed to look for his offense a little bit more.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. Like where I'm not looking for anybody else, when I'm not looking, you know, to run the play. I'm just, you know, trying to catch it in a spot that I can, you know, read my defender, read where the, you know, the double team is coming from and making a play. And the good thing that it, you know, my legs feel good, my rhythm feels good, and tonight we won, which is, you know, the most important thing.
I asked Tony Allen about the start that he got off to, the 13 points right out of the gate, and Tony said it reminded them of why he's so important.
Made us realize how much of a focal point he is to our team, and it was definitely amazing to see the guy come off and just run off the first 13. And we talked about getting off to a good start today, and he definitely took that to heart.
course, Tony himself had a, it was a typically Tony up and down kind of night. A lot of goods. He had a 3-7-14 from the field. 15 points, 11 rebounds, 3 of them on the offensive end. 2 block shots, too. He had some down. He did not defend especially well down the stretch against Kyle Lowry. But on the whole, he was better and a little more locked in, I think, from a focus standpoint than he was in the game against Houston, where it looked like he was drifting mentally a little bit in that ball game. I mentioned Mike Conley and his bid for the All-Star game. Yeah, he did not shoot the ball especially well, 4 of 16. I thought he played, at times the point of attack defense, as I mentioned earlier, was not where it needed to be. I thought he got a little bit better with that, but yeah, it was not an ideal situation. But it's a weird game. I mean, you look at it, Vince Carter, comes off the bench as everyone celebrated his 40th birthday. He does it against, the Raptors, where the whole thing really took off for him, and he ends up with a 360. One of his 4 shots is a 360 layup. Incredible. And David Fizdale actually in the post game said that he had predicted that with JB Bickerstaff, the assistant coach. And they laughed about it when it happened. It was incredible to watch. But the Grizzlies bench only took 7 shots in this ballgame. I mean, that's it. Only 7 shots. And they scored, they scored 11 points on those 7 shots. So good for them. This one was all about the starters and the starting unit. It really was a 6-man rotation with all the starters playing at least 35 minutes. Vince Carter playing 30, and then Andrew Harrison and Deontay Davis splitting up the last 20 or so minutes, 25 minutes that was left. It was one of those games, again, wasn't particularly pretty down the stretch, but the Grizzlies needed a victory desperately going into the 6-game road trip, starting with the game against the Blazers on Friday, then the Jazz on Saturday. So had to get a win, got the win. That was the most important thing. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56877 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the Commercial Appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @PeterEdmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.